Heavenly Father, we thank you for your strength and your power, Lord. We thank you for your word. Father, I ask you to anoint these words as I speak. Lord, you know each person that is here, each person who is listening online. God, you know what we have need of this morning. You know what our heart has need of. And so, Lord, we just say, speak to us through your word this morning. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And once again, we welcome everyone that's here this morning. It's good to see you today. God bless you all for coming out today. We're going to continue our study on falling in love with the Word of God. And it is important that we love the Word. The psalmist David said, "Oh, how I love your law. It's my meditation day and night." And so we're going to pick back up in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5 is where we left off last week. We have been going through the fourth chapter of Timothy. And the scripture says this, "But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." And Paul was talking to Timothy, who was his spiritual son, and he was teaching him about things that were to come and things that were happening and the distractions that were happening within the church and the false teaching that had come within the church. And he was encouraging him to preach the word. And he said, be watchful. Timothy, be sober, be self-controlled. He was talking about an athlete that has all of his passions and appetite and his nerves under control when he goes into the arena. He said, stay stable, Timothy, in this unstable word. And you see, that's what the Word of God does for us. In the midst of the storm, the Word of God, God's promises to us, our relationship with Jesus Christ, it will stabilize us in the midst of the storm. Can somebody say amen this morning? He said, Timothy said to him, endure afflictions. In other words, accept whatever suffering comes upon you for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Christianity, Timothy, is going to cost you something. Paul knew about the cost of preaching the gospel, and he encouraged him, whatever it costs, be willing to pay the price. And then he said, do the work of an evangelist. And we talked last week about how it's everyone's responsibility to be able to share the good news of the gospel of the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ is our Savior. He is the hope of the world. And then he said, fulfill your ministry. Do not leave any service unfulfilled, Timothy. Every Christian's ambition should be to be of use in the church in which they are a part, and also the society or in the community in which they live. The scripture tells us to serve the household of faith of which you are a member and reach out and help your neighbors. Galatians 6, 9 through 10. I'm just going to read it to you. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. And this morning I want to thank everyone who worked yesterday to help Elsie move. Thank you so much for your time, for your service yesterday. Would you mind standing? Who helped? Who helped yesterday? Look at these men. Yes. Thank you so much. And Elsie is here this morning. You are so welcome, Elsie. You are so welcome, Elsie. And isn't it a blessing to serve the household of faith, the body of Christ? God bless you in your new place. And I heard the team even prayed and blessed her apartment. Hallelujah. Amen. And then there are some ladies that are going to go help her unpack boxes, is what I'm hearing, and get things put away. So, you see, this is the blessing of the body of Christ. This should be our heart's desire. Lord, how can I serve in the church to be a blessing to the household of faith? And then, Lord, what is it that you have for me to do out in my community to be a witness and a testimony of the goodness of God? Hallelujah. So let's go on to the next verse, which is verse 6, and let's read it together. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. And so Paul's life was being poured out as a drink offering. He was letting Timothy know that he was ending the time of his service to the body of Christ and to him, and he said, my life is being poured out. And a drink offering was offered with the sacrifices in the Old Testament. So, you know, but Paul did not think of himself, as he stated this, as going to his execution, because he was going to be executed. His case had gone before Nero, and Nero was going to, it wasn't going well, and he knew that Nero was going to execute him, cut his head off, because Paul was a Roman and he couldn't be crucified. So he knew the other thing that they would do was behead him. But Paul did not look at it as I'm going to my execution. He looked at it as I am giving my life to God. Ever since his conversion, he had offered everything to God. His money, his strength, his time, his mental abilities. He was a very, very intelligent man. He was very well trained in the law. And he completely devoted his heart. And now he was ready. He's saying, Timothy, I am ready to lay my life down. And this word departure that he used from the Greek means an unloosing. And it's in relationship with unyoking animals from the plow, from unyoking them from the wagon. You know, those horses, you see them out on the Amish fields, you see them plowing, and the ox are pulling carts. And, you know, this isn't real common terminology in our day to day, but when he used this word departure, they knew what he was talking about, because it is the Greek word that means that unloosing from the burden, unloosing from the toil of this life. And Paul, he was ready to enter into his rest with the Lord, laying down his burdens in order to rest. Let's go on to 2 Timothy 4:7. And this is the title of my message, I Have Fought the Good Fight. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Hallelujah. Paul was making his proclamation that he had fought the good fight. And that word fight comes from a word that's used in the arena. If an athlete had done his very best in a competition, whether he won the competition or not, when an athlete knew that he had done his very best, there was a satisfaction. He was content. And this is what Paul was saying. I've done my very best. Can we say that? Do we take every day and say, Lord, I want to do my very best? I'm in this arena of life. God, help me to do my best today. I give this day to you, God. Help me, Lord, to fulfill my ministry. Lord, to have the opportunity to be an evangelist somewhere along the way today, that I can encourage people that you are the hope of the world. Hallelujah. Paul said, I finished the race. Paul had completed his course. The one thing needed in this life is staying power. Have you ever seen people start something? Well, I've done this. I start something and then I quit it. You know, and I think I'm going to do great at this. And then I stop. But Paul had staying power. And he stayed in the race. We've got to stay in the race with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no turning back. You know, it's easy to start a race. Has anyone here ran races? Yeah, it's fun to run races. We used to run lots of them. All excited to start it, but man, you got to really push through to finish. If you've done a half marathon or a marathon, you know. And this is what Paul was talking about. Hey, I've had a long course, but I had staying power. And I've been steady, and I'm crossing that finish line. And he said, keep the faith. Keep the faith. This is also a business phrase that indicated that Paul had kept the conditions of the contract. It was a common phrase they used in that day. Paul had kept the conditions of the contract, and Paul never lost confidence or hope in God. Hallelujah. Let's read what he says in verse 8. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. So Paul would receive his reward, a crown of righteousness, from the righteous judge. He knew that in a very short time he would stand before the Roman judgment seat and his trial would come to an end. Paul knew the verdict would be death by execution, but it didn't matter to him. As long as he would hear from the righteous judge, well done. You see, Paul knew that the Lord had a crown of righteousness for him. So to Timothy and to all loyal believers, he's talking to us in this verse, whatever discouragement or persecution we may face, we know that our reward is with Christ in eternity. Everything in this world will pass away. The things we try so hard to hold on to will be gone. But what we have done for Christ will last forever. Our spirit is eternal. And the work that we do in this world for the Lord Jesus Christ is eternal. It has an eternal effect. Today, as we sit in this place, the Holy Spirit is ministering to each one of us because He is strengthening our spirit. He is encouraging us that we are eternal. God is eternal, and someday we're going to live with our Heavenly Father. We're not going to have these bodies anymore. Hallelujah. Enough aches and pains. Hallelujah. We're going to get a new body. Thank you, Lord. And we are going to live forever with the Lord. Think about that. It's hard for our minds to even imagine and go there. You know, it's like, God, what would that be like to live in a place where there's no trouble, no sorrow, no tears, no death, no COVID-19. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your presence today. And we thank you, God, that we don't have to be discouraged. God's people should not be discouraged because we have a hope. So Paul had learned to find shelter for his soul in times of trouble and persecution. He was a student of the word. And like I said, he was a son of a Pharisee, and he was very well trained in the law, and the Pharisees were also legal experts. And you know what Jesus Christ said in Matthew 5:20? He said, except our righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus Christ is serious about our walk with Him. He is serious about how we live our life every day. His word makes it very clear that if we will ask Him for help, He will help us. We can't do this on our own. And salvation does not come by the good works that we do, but it is a gift from God. And after we receive this great salvation, then we have work to do. Hallelujah. God works on us as we work for His kingdom. And you are a kingdom representative everywhere you go. You take the kingdom of God, the presence of God with you, because if Jesus Christ is in you, then your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And so God is with us. He is always with us. But Paul had learned how to shelter in times of trouble. And we're going to take a look at this, just a few scriptures about sheltering in God. God is a shelter and a strong tower. Let's read it together. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. Shelter in place. The Lord reminded me that He spoke to me in 2016 about sheltering in place. And I heard the Spirit of the Lord say to the church, you are my beloved. I'm with you always. Draw close to me and I will keep you from the snare of the enemy. I hear the Lord say to the church that we are sheltered safely in Him when we abide in His word. Sheltered with God. Would you go to the next slide, please? How to shelter in place. Let's read it together. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Entering into 2016, we weren't sure everything that was going to happen. But you know, I kept hearing over and over the Lord say, shelter in me, shelter in place. And then, I don't know if you remember, but in 2016, it was on the news a lot. They were saying those words. The CDC had an explanation of how to shelter in place. But our shelter is in the Lord. Amen. Whoever dwells, whoever, in the shelter of the Most High, will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. So it is a decision that we make to draw near to God. And how do we draw near to God? Well, we draw near to God when we pray and we communicate with Him and we read His word. You draw near to a person when you communicate with them, when you listen to their words, when you get into their presence. You know, it's wonderful to have social media. It's wonderful to have Zoom. It's wonderful to have all of this modern technology. But there is nothing like being in this room with you. when we were shut down during COVID-19 and we were having church in here in this big empty place, it was really difficult. Because you are the church and you bring the presence of the Lord and all that you are into this house. And together, the scripture says, we prepare the Lord a spiritual habitation. So once again, the Lord is spirit and he dwells in a spiritual habitation, and the church coming together creates that. I'm so thankful that we're here. I'm so thankful that we can shelter. In God. What would we do, church? We have a place we can run. Let's go to the next slide. The word shelter means a place to hide from our enemies. Well, we may not have someone physically chasing us, but we know that we play conversations and words and accusations over and over again in our mind. Come on, we know we have conflict at work. If you are in relationship and you're around people, you know when things are stirring. Yeah, can you recognize that, church? You know when things are stirring. So there is a place that we can hide from the voice of the enemy, from all of the conflict when we come into that dwelling with the Lord. How do we do that? We dwell upon his promises. We dwell upon the word of God. We dwell upon what is true. And we can come into that place. You can learn to do this. Come into that place with the Lord and shut out the world. You got to turn off your TV. You got to turn off that phone. You don't have to be accessible 24/7. You know, I think phones are wonderful, but we're to control the phone. The phone isn't to control us. Is that right? And the word for refuge means a place to run for safety. Everybody needs a safe place. When we run to God, we run to a safe place. When we come to church, the church should be a safe place. The people of God should be safe people. We've all met people that are not safe. We've all been hurt by people who are not safe people. And we need to recognize that God put the body of Christ together to be a safe place, a dwelling place for the people of God to come together, to worship God, to encourage one another, to pray for one another. And you don't have to put on a false front like you're something you're not. You don't have to wear your very best outfit to make people think you've got a bunch of clothes. It's okay to be who you are. And we present ourselves to the Lord, and he works on us. And the body of Christ loves us. You see, when we love one another, it is love that covers a multitude of sins. It is love that motivates us to change. It isn't condemnation and judgment when you walk through the door. And I've been to places like that. I never want to be a place like that. But to be a place where people are loved and accepted, and you know that if you come into the river of life, God will get you. He will change you. We have watched people come that have sat in these seats, especially husbands with wives, wives with husbands, kids come in. Just being in the presence of God and with the family of God, there is something spiritual that takes place. And you can resist it, but God will get you at the river. Hallelujah. He will get you. Because he loves you. Tell somebody he loves you. The fortress, the word fortress means the one who keeps me. God keeps me. God keeps me. Thank you, Lord. I want the Lord to keep me. He's not going to kick me to the curb. He is always there for us. And you know, we hear that over and over again. But I know when the Apostle Paul was entering this last part of his life, he was a testimony of God always being with him, even when he was shipwrecked, even when he was in prison. And prison was not like our prisons today. Our prisons today are like a hotel. They were in a hole in the ground. And if they had friends or family that would come and drop them some food, they were fortunate. Otherwise, they might get fed and they might not get fed. They were in the dark. They often didn't have a place to go to the bathroom, so they had to go right there. It was horrible conditions. So you see, our mind cannot even imagine or think these things because we are so blessed in America. Any American that complains about the living conditions in America needs deliverance. Hallelujah. Go to the foreign countries. You'll see how people live. In the dirt. With portable shelters over their head. If they're lucky. We are the wealthiest nation on earth. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Amen. Let's read Psalm 91:1 again. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. To dwell is to sit down, to remain, to inhabit. To rest is to stop, to stay permanently, to remain, to dwell, to abide. The psalmist found in God a hiding place, a safe place, a resting place from the trials, troubles, temptations, and terror of this world. And that's what we can have. Everyone sitting here can have that. I wanted to share a story that I had read about a Christian believer whose name is Frederick. And he was fleeing from his enemies during a time of persecution in North Africa. And as the army pursued him over hills and valleys, he got to a place where there was no place to hide. And he was so exhausted, and he just did not know what to do. And he looked a little ways from him, and he saw a wayside cave. And so he got into that cave, expecting the enemy to find him anytime soon. He was lying there thinking, this is the end of me, as he scooched back in this small opening. And as he laid there, he was watching a spider, and the spider began to spin a web across the opening of this small area that he had squeezed through. And so this beautiful web began to form. And when the army, when some of the guys came by, they looked that way. They ran over there knowing that that had to be where he went. But they saw this web across the opening, and they thought, well, there's no way he could have got in there without breaking this web, so they just moved on. And this is what Frederick said about that situation. He said, where God is, a spider web is like a wall. Where God is not, a wall is like a spider's web. So God keeps us. He protects us. When we trust in Him, He will keep us as we shelter in Him. And I'd like to close today with just reading some scriptures from John 15. Because It clearly tells us to abide in His Word. Love His Word. So let's read these together in closing. John 15, 1 through 4. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So if we're going to bear the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, the fruit, that's the fruit. That's the fruit that becomes evident in your life when you abide in God, when you abide in the Word of God. And God will do a little pruning to bring forth more fruit. Somebody say, ouch. Who's been pruned a few times? Aren't we so thankful that the Father, the vine dresser, is willing to do that for us? At the time, we might not be. But the fruit of the Spirit, that's what the world is hungry for. John 15, 5 through 6, let's read that. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. There is no other way to the Father except through Jesus Christ. Do not believe false teachers who tell you there are many paths to heaven. There is one way, and the Scripture says it's a very narrow way. It's the narrow way that we travel on when we follow Jesus Christ. He is the keeper of the sheep. He is the gate. He is the door. We step into Jesus Christ. We abide in Him. And He is our way to the Father. There's no other name given under heaven or earth whereby we can be saved except for the name of Jesus. And that is why people do not want the name of Jesus spoken in the public. They will bleep it out. But they'll let cuss words fly. That's just the state of our culture today. It is on a downward spiral, and they need the Lord. They need the revelation of how much God loves them. So we pray for America. We have a Zoom team that prays every night at 8. And we pray for America. We cry out for souls. The Lord said He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come. So let's read our last verse, and then we'll close this out today. John 15, 7 through 8. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Lord, we just thank you for this word. We thank you, Lord, that we can abide in you, that your words can abide in us, and Lord, that they begin to shape our desires. Your word, your presence changes our desires. Your word, your presence renews our minds. Lord, it causes us to want the things we should want and to be willing to let go of the things that we don't need. Father, I thank you for River of Life. I thank you for our River of Life family. I thank you for friends and guests and those that are here today and all those who are listening online. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are ministering to our hearts. You're giving us a little heart adjustment today. Lord, that you are challenging us, calling us, instructing us to walk the narrow way. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Can you just lift your hands today and thank the Lord? Father, we thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for fruit that remains, for the fruit of the Spirit to be evident, Lord, in our lives. Father, we want to be fruit bearers. Lord, help us, Lord. Help our fruit to grow in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you today in Jesus' name. If there's anyone here that has not received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is just a good time, a good day. Today is your day. And if you've been wandering, just straying away from the Lord, He's calling you today to come back to Him, to come close to Him, to turn around and head in the right direction. And He will help us do that. If we say, God, I want to go the right direction, He'll help us. You know, sometimes we get so entangled with the world. We get so entangled with problems. God wants to untangle us from some things so we can find some rest for our souls. Do you believe that? Has God ever untangled your mess? He has untangled my mess many times. Hallelujah. So, Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for cutting away the desire for things we do not need or we should not be involved in. And a lot of times we know we shouldn't be, but we do it anyway. So, Lord, change us today. I really sense the Spirit has really given us a challenge today. And so, Lord, we're thankful that you love us enough to speak to our hearts. And we come to you, Lord. In closing, I have one scripture to read, Philippians 1:27. It's not on your PowerPoint, but the Lord just really impressed me this morning with it. And it says this: only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And that's our prayer this morning. Paul was talking to the Philippians. He said, Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel. Be consistent for the faith of the gospel. Let your behavior, what you do every day, whether you're in church or out of church, be worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When people talk about River of Life, may it be said of our affairs that for the faith of the gospel, we stand fast in one spirit, that we strive together with one mind to accomplish God's mandate for this ministry. We are in this together. And so, Father, we thank you for our River of Life family, that we can strive together for the faith of the gospel. Lord, that everyone in this territory will hear about you, that they'll know there is hope in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's give the Lord a shout of praise this morning.